Welcome to Gear England's Last Storm. This is Dave.
And this is Mark. And we're here to talk about that amazing comeback overtime win against the Bulls.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game. It was a huge hustle by our second round pick and our undrafted guys. They put up 72 combined points today. It was really great to see how they all put together.
It was awesome to see, and we can't wait to tell you guys about what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, they were great, obviously. Lou was outstanding, especially he made huge plays defensively down the stretch. I mean, he took the charge on Levine, and then he had the loose ball, which was a huge play also. And Shea was so efficient tonight. He was outstanding. But again, you know, like, I thought we gave ourselves a chance. You know, there's no guarantee you're going to win when you kind of continue to compete. But if you continue to compete, you give yourself a chance. And, you know, I was more happy with the approach those guys took. You know, those two in particular were great. But our whole team, you know, like I already said, the approach is what we're most proud of tonight. That was a huge step forward for us. It was huge progress. Even if we lost the game, if the last shot goes in, I'd feel the same way.
So one of the things that I noticed before the game that I put on my notes to watch during the game was for the person replacing our big Al, Al Horford, we were definitely watching this matchup close tonight because it was a young matchup of two young guys. Isaiah Roby was playing a center position when he is typically a small forward. So this is something that we wanted to keep an eye on all night.
Yeah, I think Roby plays big, and so that was really good to see, like, given the opportunity to start against a bigger player at the center, and I think he did really well. He ended up fouling out, but overall in the game, I thought he really contributed on both ends of the floor. We got off to kind of a slow start, but SGA, he was kicking things in. He got 4 points early for us, but then Roby hit that three, and then Dort hit a three, and we were able to get back tied at 12 with about 6:50 left in the first quarter, but then things really started falling apart. Roby stuck with it. He got another two, and Moose got a couple. But pretty much after SGA hit a three, our offense dried up and Poku got a couple, but pretty much that was it for the quarter. We were down 8 at the end of the first quarter, 30-22. Things weren't looking good, but Roby had 5 points in that first quarter. Like you said, he was off to a good start.
Yeah, he had a really good day today getting out of getting Carter Williams to get out of the paint. They got a chance to get him one-on-one, and I felt like he did a really good job at taking advantage of that matchup, especially in the first quarter when he was able to put up 5 points. And really, the 5 points that he put up was because Wendell Carter was completely out of his comfort zone, out guarding him on a wing.
Yeah, that's true. And he attacked him, you know, from the three-point shot. He attacked him off the dribble. He attacked him in transition. And like I felt like he kept Wendell Carter out of his comfort zone. Not to say that he didn't necessarily get the best of him a few times, but he definitely kept attacking him.
And he kept it physical on the defensive end. So it was really nice to see how Roby was stepping up and playing at that high level against the center. And yes, he's 6'8", 6'9", but it was still really great to see that he was playing against a true seven-footer, and he was pushing him around and being physical with him. It was a really nice job by Roby in the first quarter.
Right, and then we got to the second quarter, and things really kind of the wheels sort of fell off during the second quarter. Teo scored, you know, 4 points early. Kendrick Williams got his first couple of points. Roby kept kicking in points. Baisley hit a three. Then Kendrick Williams hit a three. So we were getting offensive production from our bench, but the Bulls were just unstoppable at that point, and we were, you know, we're trying to stick with it. Kenny Williams scored 5 points in a row. Dort made a couple of, you know, plays on defense. He had a huge block on Kobe White. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it was just nice to see these guys play ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he got up there. He blocked it. It felt like he blocked it twice and hit off the backboard. And then, you know, so we were getting some stuff, but it wasn't really going that great. SJ hit a couple of free throws, but we were down 13, and we're trying to cut it back. SGA kind of went on a little run, got, you know, 7 points in a row there, And then Roby got 2 points. We cut it to 10. So we were down 60-50. And, it, you know, we were hoping to go into the second half, you know, down 10 points or less. And then they went on a run, and they just opened that gash up to 18 points before halftime. And we were going in down to halftime, and it felt like the game might be over already.
Yeah, it really did. I honestly, I hate saying it, but I felt like at that point we were so overmatched. Zach LaVine at that moment had 20 points. He was 6-for-7 from downtown. Dort was doing his best to take away his shot, but obviously Zach was on a roll. And I really felt that this was, we were at a complete disadvantage at that moment.
Right. So a common theme with Coach and the players after the game was what George Hill said in the locker room and the impact he made on the players with a little speech he made. And so instead of me trying to tell you about what they said, I'm just going to go ahead and let you hear a couple of the players and Coach just talk about George Hill and what he had. So we're going to start with Coach, and then we'll go SGA, and we'll go Dort, and then we'll finish up with Kenny Williams. So they all just had really nice things, really great things to say about the leadership that Hill showed. And I think that's really important for people to understand maybe what changed at halftime.
I mean, it was less about the message. And, you know, I think coming out of the half, the guys, I thought it came from them today. And they made a decision walking out of the half to not let go of the rope. You know, we struggled the last two games. The first half did not go our way. We didn't play our best half. And, you know, we just kept fighting. And it took us a little while to break through. It wasn't easy. They made a couple more runs at us in the third and then again in the fourth, and we just hung with it. And the thing that, you know, stands out, you know, when I look at our logo, that's kind of what I think about is that spirit. You know, I thought about that before I came here, and then the years that I was here with the Blue. That was kind of the spirit, the relentless competitive spirit of the teams that were really good teams here. And, you know, we've got a lot of new players and we've got a lot of young players, and that's the type of mentality we're trying to nurture. And I thought our relentless spirit in the game was what stood out. And even if we didn't win it, we stood back up tonight, you know, which was progress for us, you know, and that was, it was a really good, you know, response by the guys, and it came from inside of them. Yeah, I mean, it came from inside of our guys. You know, it was internal tonight. And I give our players a lot of credit. You know, there was unbelievable enthusiasm, you know, 1 through 15 or 16, and all the way throughout the game, even coming out of the half, you know, when things were getting rough. I give George Hill a lot of credit. George Hill was a catalyst for us tonight from a mentality standpoint and a resilience standpoint. And that happened on a night that he was 3-for-11, you know, so it wasn't like George Hill was scoring 20 points in front running. You know, George Hill, you know, some of his shots didn't fall tonight, and he poured himself into the team tonight, and there was a contagious nature to that.
Yeah. George has obviously been around for a very long time. I've seen some things, good and bad. And he just told us at halftime that playing the way we were, there was no way we were going to be able to compete with any team in the NBA. And that we're capable of playing the right way. Bringing energy on both ends of the floor, sharing the ball, whatever it was. And that was our main focus going into the second half. And G really put it in the forefront and addressed the issue. And obviously, we came out with a little bit different spark in the second half, and we were turning around.
Yeah, at halftime, you know, George Hill, we just had our leader, we just had a good conversation. He was just telling us that, you know, the way we was playing was not the right way. And, you know, we had to play together and as a team. And, you know, we all listened to that. And the second half, we just came out and really moved the ball well and played more, way more confident. And, you know, we just had a battle and compete. And, you know, the leadership that he had at halftime, you know, really pushed us to play better in the second half.
Yeah, it was tough at the beginning. We came into halftime. G. Hill gave us a good speech at half. And we came out and responded. I mean, they were hitting some tough shots, and we knew if we stayed with it the whole night, and, you know, some of those shots would come out a little bit. So we was able to do that, and we was able to stay persistent through the whole game, and that's what got us the W.
So we come in after halftime, and we're down 18, and it's definitely, it feels like, you know, we need to change everything. It's one of those games, and it started out, you know, with Baisley getting the ball to Hill for a bucket, and then Baisley getting two more. And Baisley, he really struggled tonight, but one thing that was nice was he kept trying. He kept forcing the issue. And, you know, he made some mistakes, but he didn't just, like, get passive. And that was really good to see from him.
Yeah, I felt like he had a really hard night shooting the ball tonight. As a Baisley fan, it was really hard for me to watch. But on the same sense, he did so many other things great throughout the game that it's really hard to knock down a guy that just shot the ball poorly tonight. And I think when you have a bummed ankle and something that Mark and I know, we sprained our ankles and we play through them sometimes, you're not the same person, and it takes you a very long time and until you're able to trust the weight that you put on that ankle. And I feel like with him, he's just learning how to put the weight back on, and coach is doing a really good job making sure that he gets minutes so that he can continue to keep fresh out there and keep intact with the game. But don't get frustrated with Baisley, because this is something that we're going to see as he progresses throughout the year. And it's something that when we see it, we're going to be okay with, because we know he's going to bounce back and he's going to have an amazing game later.
Right. And then Dort stepped up and he knocked down a long two. And he really showed that mid-range game, which has been on display this season, which has been awesome. The three-point shot, that's great. You know, attacking the basket, he's got that down. But when you talk about the mid-range game, like I said before, you know, that means he's attacking the basket on all three levels. And when he does that, he's a special talent. And it's hard for us to completely grasp because so much focus and energy goes to his defense. But what he's able to do on the offensive end this year has been, you know, amazing. But so he hit that two, and then he really got going, right? Dort just totally took over the game. He knocks down a three. And we're still down 16 at that point, at that range. And then we get a couple from SGA, we get a couple from Hill, which brings it down to 14. But then Dort just goes crazy. Dort hits a three, he hits a couple of free throws, he gets a bucket, he draws a charge, and he hits another three, all in succession, okay? And so at that point, we were down by 7 with 4 minutes and 45 seconds left, and we were right back in it.
Yeah, literally, Dort took our guys, and we're having a horrible offensive night at that moment. And he put them on his back, and he said, "Guys, I got you." And he pulled them out of a hole that we were in. And not only did he do something amazing here, but he turned the entire game around. Because the moment that he stepped up like that, it was like everybody got a shot of adrenaline, and all those guys started hustling and moving hard.
Right. And then at that point, SGA went and got a huge and-one. So that cut it to 6. Then Hami went and got a bucket, cut it to 4 with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left. So right there, we're in it. SGA got a dunk with 3 minutes and 50 seconds left. They cut the game down to 2. We were down to 83-81. And it felt like we weren't going to just go away. At that point, we had already shown them that we were here for, you know, and we meant business. So, you know, we get it to 2. They get a couple of buckets. And Poku hits a 3. And that was awesome to see. And, you know, that pulled it down to 3.
His 3, I felt like, was something that we haven't seen from Poku and SGA. SGA made an insane move to the basket and collapsed the entire defense down on top of him.
Right.
And he left Poku wide open on that wing, and it was sweet. Like, the second that it released his hand, my hands were up in the air saying, "Holy Jesus, that's in."
Yeah. And so that cut it to 3 again. And, you know, then the Bulls kind of went on a run. Teo was able to also hit a 3 before the close of the third quarter. But the Bulls went on a run. And so we were down 8 going into the fourth. We were down 95-87. So even though we were playing well and we had cut the lead all the way to 2, being down 8 was pretty frustrating because it felt like, you know, there was a chance that if they played well enough, they could keep us out of the game. But, you know, especially with our second unit coming in, I felt like we were going to have some energy. But it was also that whole run was Dort alone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. And this is something that we saw. We saw Maladone come down and hit a three, and then we didn't score what felt like an eternity. And it is the fourth quarter, and it was a long time. And I felt like this was not something that we wanted to see. But the thing that the second team did was they kept the game close. They didn't. They played really good defense. They kept on hustling. They didn't stop it. And I think that's when we could start substituting in. We got George Hill and Isaiah Roby back in the game, and that's when the game turned.
Right, and that's what I kind of was waiting for was, you know, we needed Dort in the game too. You know, he was just everywhere, and he was able to make an impact, and it was great to see, like, on all levels, the teamwork, the young players playing well. And so, yeah, Roby got in, and he was able to get four straight points midway through the fourth, and he was, you know, he was playing great. And Kenny Williams, he was able to get a steal and a bucket. SGA hit a three. And so with 3 minutes and 40 seconds left, we were down 9 when Roby fouled out. So go ahead.
And I felt like just before Roby had fouled out, though, we saw an incredible 3 minutes of Roby. He had George Hill had 2 assists to him for, like Mark said, 4 points. And then straight after that, Roby goes all the way down, and he steps up and takes the charge. He got an unbelievable stop on the D right there. And I felt like that at that moment, Roby was stepping up. But then, inevitably, when you foul out, you're out of the game.
Right. He definitely took that huge charge right before he fouled out, and that was incredible to see. It was such a great effort, that charge. And then, you know, they called him for a foul it wasn't really a good call. But in the NBA, if you don't have respect from the officials, you're going to get that called on you sometimes. So he left the game, and, you know, at that point, he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. He really played well. And that was, you know, like we said earlier, he attacked the basket, you know, from three-point land, from transition, and he got to the hole, too. So after he fouled out, Dort got a bucket with 2:25 left. That brought us down to 8. 116 to 108. And then Moose got fouled on a 3 with 1:47 left. And that was great to see because we were having trouble scoring at that point. He had, you know, I think Moose had already missed one at that point in the fourth. So after he hit all 3 free throws, it brought us down 7, 118 to 111. All right. And then SGA got a bucket. And then Dort got a steal with 58 seconds left that led to.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, like on the floor, elbows flaring, everybody's calling timeout. It was beautiful.
Right. And then Kenny Williams got a bucket with 50 seconds left. And so that brought it to 3. So finally, again, you know, after having it in the third quarter, getting down 2, we've clawed our way all the way back into it again. And it's a one-possession game. We're down 3. And Dort goes out and takes a charge. And then Kendrick Williams draws an offensive foul on them, I think on over the back.
Yep.
A loose ball foul. Hustle play. So we're down 3, right? And we get back-to-back awesome defensive players from our hustle play, defensive plays from our hustle players, Dort and Williams. And so that gives us extra chances to go out there and score, and SGA did it with 16 seconds left. He went and got to the basket and got a foul called on Kobe White for an and-one. He tied the game up at 118, and it was so cool to see SGA just talking and being animated and just having fun.
Dude was so pumped. I mean, he was excited, and we were all excited. We're all going crazy. You know, being that Thunder fans, you can't help yourself. I'm sure my neighbors are concerned about it for a little while. But the point is that SGA made an incredible move to the hole, and he tied the game up, giving us a chance to play defense and get a stop.
Right, and we got that stop. We were able to take care of business, and we went into overtime with all the momentum. So going into overtime, you know, we had this – Definitely this great vibe. It felt like even if we lost the game, we won because we had shown the ability to fight back. And We had shown that we're competitive, and we had shown that we're there to win, and we're not just there to lose. And before we get into overtime, I just want to let you guys hear a little clip of what Coach had to say about the culture of resilience, what it means to be an Oklahoma City Thunder, and what that means to the players and means to the city, and what resilience means and what the culture of resilience means to Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, you know, we're not trying to build a resilient culture. We're trying to continue a resilient culture. You know, resilient culture has existed here for a long period of time. Ever since the team came here, there's been a resilient basketball culture. That's what I was speaking to at the beginning, is the spirit that those teams had. And it continued last year with that team, and Bayes and Shea and Lou got a taste of that in Muscala. And we're trying to continue that, you know, and I would say that's a staple of the city as well. You know, that's one of the things when the team came here that I know was a high priority, is that the team's resilient spirit was matched to that of the city's. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into playing here in this community, and there's a lot that goes into representing the logo, and that's what we're trying to teach every single day.
So we came into overtime, and like I said earlier, it just felt like getting to overtime was a win after being down 22 points in the third.
Yeah, it was huge. I like, you know, we were texting back and forth and calling back and forth, and, you know, I had about 40 text messages from my friends, and I looked back on them, and all of them were pretty much like, what do you think? What do you think? And I said to every single one of them, just like you and I have been talking, I feel like this is a win. It showed that we care enough. It shows that we have heart. It shows that we climb back from 22. I mean, we didn't just climb back, but we scraped. We crawled. Think about the defense that Dort played and how many steals he got tonight. There were so many things that put us into this position to even be in overtime right then. And to me, there was like so much pride, Thunder pride, Oklahoma City pride, that was swelling up in me. I couldn't contain it anymore.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and that was just for getting to overtime. You know, I felt like we had the momentum. I felt like even if we didn't win, I felt like the players and the coaches and the whole organization should keep their head held up high because they worked hard. They competed. And that's really important. And it was just really fun to watch. But one of the underlying storylines of this game to me was Mike Muscala. Now, Mike had been buried on the bench by Coach Donovan last year, and just sort of forgotten about, hardly ever played. And I really felt like he had something to prove. And in overtime, he came out and proved it. He missed a couple of shots, but when he hit that three with 3 minutes and 50 seconds left of overtime, like, it was just, you know, okay, we're in the driver's seat, right? And then the very next thing, like, very next play that happens for us is Kendrick Williams takes a charge. And that was an absolute theme of the whole game. It's just his hustle. And we have, you know, a couple of clips here that I wanted to let everybody hear about. Just goes from SGA to Dort and Muscala, each talking about what Kenny Williams was able to do with the game.
Yeah, Kerrich is a dog. Does all the little things, and a lot like Lou, makes winning basketball plays on both ends of the floor. It plays the right way. Guys that are as selfless as he is, they ultimately help winning, no matter where they go, what situation they're in. It's the way basketball's supposed to be played. So hats off to K. Rich. Obviously, his number doesn't get called every night, but he's always ready. And that's another thing you can tip your hat to.
I mean, he's a hustler. You know, he played hard and competed really hard. And I just like, that's the way I play too. And I just like seeing guys like that on my team. And, you know, he played really hard, and he really helped us, you know, winning this game. You know, he made big plays.
Consistent with his effort and his defensive intensity and focus and skills. And you know, he's a great offensive player too, I think. So that fuels the team. When you're getting stops, when you're forcing turnovers, when you're rebounding, it feels good as a team. You know, you feel like, okay, now we got some juice going back the other way. So to have that from him in the second half, especially, like I said, like I keep saying, it really was inspiring for the whole team, and it was big for us tonight.
All right, so after he takes that charge, Kenny gets a bucket, right? So that puts us up five. And at that point, you know, I wouldn't say we played great after we got up five. You know, we really kind of put ourselves in a position where we could have lost the game. There's still a lot of learning opportunities in how we finished that game out. But, you know, being up five, it would have been a complete catastrophe to really screw that one up.
Yeah, it would have been. But, again, like you said, we have a bunch of young players. So getting frustrated at them and pointing out all their the negative things that happened during that time wouldn't be any good for them. So we're looking at it like this, is that what better way to grow as a young NBA athlete than get your first chance to have an overtime game where you're putting big minutes in?
Yep, exactly. Got to play in these types of games. But winning is, you know, is exactly what we need, too. So after, you know, the Bulls were able to cut it down, the lead, you know, we're sitting there, now we're only up by 1 point, and Moose hits another three to build it up to 4 points with 50 seconds left. So those two threes I felt like were for Donovan, and, you know, then you know, we're just trying to hang on at that point. And Hill hits a free throw with 5 seconds left, and they had a shot to beat us at the end. Fortunately, we hung on, and we were able to get it done. Like I said earlier, Roby went for 14 points. SGA went for 33, 10 assists and 5 rebounds. Dort went for 21 and 8 rebounds. And let's see who else we had. Kenny Williams went for 14 four rebounds and 2 assists. Teo had 10 points. Poku had 5. Aisley went for 9. And Hill had 8. And, you know, Hill didn't have the best game, but, you know, all the coaches and all the players had tons of good stuff to say about him. And Moose went for 11. You know, and I just feel like those two threes, that was, you know, and obviously that those three free throws that he hit in the fourth quarter, you know, he hit the shots we needed at the times we needed, and that's one of the things I love about Moose. And just I love his attitude, too. And here's a few things that Moose had to say after the game.
Yeah, just try to stay ready to shoot, stay confident. You know, Shea told me to stay ready. He does such a good job drawing attention. So, you know, when my big was helping a little bit, just try to be ready and stay confident and shoot it one shot at a time. And, you know, I thought the starters – they did such a great job in that third quarter, bringing life back into the gym and competing so hard. It was really inspiring to watch that to start the second half, and I think that just carried us through overtime.
Well, halftime was definitely a turning point in this game for us. And knowing that the coaching, knowing that the veterans were involved, the veterans were coaching the players, knowing that everybody was on the same page, you know, that's what makes me proud. That's what makes me love cheering for the Thunder. You know, if we were tanking, then I'm sure that Sam Presti would be very concerned that we had veterans helping the players win games, and he would trade away those veterans. But when you look at it, he's keeping these players because he wants their leadership so that we're not tanking.
You're right, and I think this is the coolest thing to me is what happened tonight. It echoes exactly what Coach and Sam Presti have been saying since day one. We're going in this year with a 0-0 mindset. Really, what we look at this game is we look at the game as the tale of two halves. We have the middle section where we struggled greatly, and then we have the fourth quarter and the first quarter where I felt like we did a great job and there's a lot of amazing things that happened. But really, we have a tale of two games right here. And it was really amazing to see how Coach was able to instill the mindsets, the 0-0 every single half, every single morning, every single quarter. If you're getting out of the game and you're coming back in the game, you start with a 0-0.
Well, SGA was definitely the bright, shining star of the game. And it was so fun to watch him just take over and demonstrate his leadership and his ability to make tough shots and just have a nose for winning. And here's what Coach had to say about SGA.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest part of his leadership was how he played. You know, he just stuck with it. You know, he was really, really relentless tonight, you know, and especially in the second half. You know, he was hungry on every single possession. I thought he did a really good job defensively. And, yeah, I mean, he's a happy guy. You know, he plays with a lot of joy. But he's really competitive, and he's learning how to – fire that into the rest of the team. And that's hard to do. You know, it's hard enough to take responsibility for your own game. And it's that much harder to take responsibility for the team, but he continues to take these steps forward and takes responsibility for not only how he's playing, but how we're playing. And I thought tonight was another example of that.
Well, Dort got it done. That's all you can say about Dort. Like, the plays that we needed to get, the momentum plays, the way that he can just take over the game on defense for whole stretches. We've seen it happen in games before. And I found myself in the game just being like, here's what we need. We need Dort to just go dominate, right? Like, as if that you can just call upon that. And that's what he did. It was just like, it's Dort time. It's Dort time, you know. And he went for 21-8, and he also had 6 steals. And that was pretty amazing. And here's what SGA had to say about Dort.
Yeah, that's what I expect. I think I can speak for the rest of the guys. That's what we all expect from Lou every night. And he brings it every night. And that's one of the things that he hangs his hat on and makes him the player who he is. And so it doesn't come to no surprise to me or any of us. He does and makes winning plays all the time.
Yeah, just echoing what SGA had to say about Dort, it was really great to see all the hustle that he put out there. Like Mark said, he had 6 steals, but he had 1 block as well. And I don't even know how to describe the way that he played tonight. I felt like we've seen incredible plays, incredible minutes by him throughout this entire season. But tonight I felt like he rose to a completely different level. The way that he was able to carry this team for a large section of the game, the way that he was able to inspire a massive run, the way that he was able to take charges, get steals, like whatever this team needed, Dort was there to do it. And to me, this is a guy that we're all of Oklahoma City is getting incredibly excited about. You know, undrafted, like we've said, we've talked about his not being drafted, but this kid is really an unbelievable talent that somehow nobody was able to see. And I'm just so glad that Sam and the player development coaches took the time to get this guy on our team.
Right. And here's what he had to say about his defensive effort and just doing what it takes to win.
Really to try to make it hard on their best players. You know, they have two pretty good scorers, you know, and, you know, they had the ball most of the time. So really, you know, applied pressure on them. And, you know, I felt like they did a good job as a whole team. I mean, I felt like I've been doing this, you know, my whole life. You know, I've always been playing defense and some other teams I've been on, you know, I had a bigger part offensively. I mean, in the NBA, you know, it's different. We have way more games. And it's something that I'm adapting right now. You know, I'm getting better at it. And I just got to stay confident about everything I'm doing.
One of the things I would love to talk about is the way that we've talked about before. We have 7 second rounders and 1 undrafted, or 7 second rounders and an undrafted player on this team. And these guys are just putting some huge minutes up. They're putting some huge numbers up. And tonight, I felt like the whole shebang was on. I felt like these 7 guys, or the ones that played tonight, really did an amazing job at on the offensive side, on the defensive side, and really just putting every hustle play out there they possibly could do. They had 72 points. They had just, like I said, hustle after hustle play all night long, whether it was a charge that we needed, whether it was a steal, whether it was in the rebound when we were having trouble rebounding in that fourth quarter or in that third quarter, couldn't get a rebound. We had Mike Muscala all of a sudden start grabbing rebounds. And to me, this was a huge moment for us to watch that this is incredibly exciting for us as a fan base, because we're recognizing that whatever is in the water in Oklahoma City helping develop these players, we want to see more of this.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for anything that would represent the city better than this team. A team of blue-collar, hard workers, underestimated, forgotten leftovers. Like, let's bring it on. Let's support this team, because, like, let's face it, like, they represent us.
Yeah, they do. They wear Oklahoma City on their chest every single day, but they put a uniform on, practice jersey on, whatever it is. And to me, I would much rather have these guys supporting us and representing us as a city than James Harden, because I feel like these guys are going to put their front foot out every single day. They're going to get out and start with that 0-0 mindset at the at the beginning of every single day, knowing that we're going to be in a really great position at the end of games to be able to be even able to compete with these guys on the court.
I couldn't agree more, man. I don't want players who don't want to be here. I don't want players that are going to quit if they don't think that it's going to be easy. So I don't want James Harden. You know, I want the team we have. I like the way that we have an underdog mentality. I like the way we handle challenges. I like our leaders being young. I like our vets, you know, showing the leadership they did. I love everything about this team. And this win, to me, was so satisfying. And for all those people who turned it off because they thought we didn't have a chance, you know, they missed out on something special because that was such a fun game. It was such a fun game. We watched that team grow up right in front of our eyes. And
completely.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me so much of, like, watching a really great boxing match, you know, where that first, that you know, you take that one guy takes some licking, you know, takes some hits, you know, and he comes back and he just, you know, he gives it back and he's able to win at the 12th round. And that's what it felt like. And I was just so happy to see. I was just so proud to see those guys get that win. And then, you know, I was already feeling it. You know, I was already like, you know, it doesn't matter if we win the game or not. You know, we already won. But when I heard Coach say those words, and I really believed he meant it, you know, it was really important. To me, that was really powerful because that was the truth. We competed, and if we won, you know, we were going to, you know, that was a bonus because in the end, when you compete, that is the prize. You know, when you put yourself out there and you claw your way back out in, like it's not always about the result, you know, it's about that process. And if you keep that attitude and you keep fighting, the result will go your way, you know, eventually as a team, as you mature. And, you know, I was so proud of seeing that happen today.
Yeah, and I was really excited as a coach, as a prior coach. It's something that I do is when I'm watching games, I try to, you know, have a message for the guys at halftime. And I wrote on my board today, the message, if I was the coach today, is I would have told the guys to keep it close, to hustle, and keep it competitive because you never know what's going to happen in the fourth quarter. And I felt like this is exactly what Coach has been talking about, the 0-0 mindset and keeping that, you know, secure. And, I mean, what else do you guys want from our team? Like, this is one of the reasons that we're sitting here and we're listening to the interviews afterwards, and we had to hear – a number of questions that were asked to our players. Like, I felt like personally, you know, you can interrupt me here, Mark, if you want, but I felt like personally when Royce Young asked the question to, was it Dort? Was it to Bazley? I mean, I don't even know who he asked it. The point is, it was a pointless question.
Yeah, he asked it twice. He asked SGA and he asked Kenny Williams.
Okay, check this out. This is what Oklahoma City journalism is all about right here. Ready? This is what he gets paid the big bucks to ask. All right? The question that he asked was, Mark, go ahead.
He asked them how much the fake crowd noise impacted their ability to play out there. Obviously, he wasn't watching the game because if he had a question for Kenny Williams, like, I would have asked about the loose balls he got, about the charges he took. I would have asked about something that happened on the court. But I'm pretty sure they give away free meals or something like that at the peak right now because he was not watching the game. And like, when he came back and he asked SGA, like, that, you know, all that stuff you did, what were you hearing? I'm like, what the fuck were you seeing, Rice?
Dude, first of all, is whatever he was smoking, right, like, just don't let me smoke, period, because that dude is on crack because there's no way in the world that he could watch the game that he watched, and the only two questions that he could legitimately ask are, how big of an impact did the crowd noise make on you? Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, is this a joke to him? Is Oklahoma City a joke to him?
He's a smut schmuck, all right? He just sits there and he looks for, like, the angle that makes everything easy. He's not a journalist, right? He's an entertainment journalist, right? There's a big difference, right? He looks at a game like that and he says, what can I talk about? I can talk about the crowd. That's easy, you know? Like, there's no crowd here. That's weird. Hey, everybody. I asked him to talk about how there's no crowd here. And, like, oh, wow, Rice, you're so smart. It's like, I don't know. How about you talk about the players? How about you talk to the players about the players did on the court? How about you focus on the game? I don't know. But, you know, that's why we're talking right now, is because they don't do a very good job representing what's going on. And, sure, they do a good job representing their point of view, but, you know, that's kind of limited.
And my biggest thing is, since day one of this whole ordeal, is, like, I feel like we should be thanking those players right now for playing during the pandemic and playing for our, essentially, our entertainment. And say what you want to say is, yes, they get paid millions of dollars to do it, but they're playing right now in the midst of a pandemic. And not once has a reporter said, thank you for what you've done for the city. Not once has a reporter decided to write an incredibly positive story about a player and how he's not around his family during this time. Like, to me, this is the worst piece of crap reporting I have ever seen in my life. And this is why, again, we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, because schmucks don't really look for, like, a good story. They look for something that will get clicks. They look for clickbait. All right, clickbait Royce, the smut schmuck of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, Ad Ryan Stiles, Adold, you know, Andrew, whatever the fuck his name is. But the point is we are here, and we're going to talk shit on the Oklahoma City media, but we're going to praise and uplift the players that are playing for us right now, because we feel that these guys deserve an extra little boost to allow them to know that we are incredibly thankful for what they're doing.
Yeah, let's do it like this. Well, you know, people are always like, you shouldn't, you know, criticize Royce. Let's just say Royce was playing a game. He was a basketball player, right? Hey, Royce, you took two shots and you missed both of them and they were really bad. Like, that would be the way that he would sum up his own game. Okay? So if you guys want to be like, oh, don't criticize a reporter, well, like, how about he does his job? You know, if you can't criticize somebody for not doing their job, then I would say that you're in a fucked up relationship.
Yeah, and that's why, for me, Royce is consistently asking us to meet. He wants to talk to us because he recognizes that we're not just blowing smoke up people's asses. Like, he starts recognizing that he hasn't necessarily talked positive about the city. He's starting to recognize that he hasn't been a positive influence with sports in this Oklahoma City area. And he has an incredible platform doing it. Now, we don't ever think that we're going to necessarily be big as Royce Young, or do we care to be ever that big? But what we care about is, we care about the city enough that we're going to continue to battle for them day in and day out until our voice is heard by enough people that we can recognize that this is about our city. This is about our city. This is about what we take and we're able to make with the players that we have right now and the talent that we have, whether they're young, old, or whatever, and we're taking a big hug and we're embracing them right now. That's what we're doing. And I feel like, as a city, that's what we have seen. You guys, the fans, have been outreaching and embracing these players. But the Oklahoma City media, it's like they don't care. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make us and everybody else feel bad because we're cheering for a team that we think could be winners.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, you watch the best game of the season, a 22-point comeback, and you come away asking those questions like you don't deserve to be reporting on the Thunder. Like, it's bullshit. And I've come to this conclusion that, like really the problem is him and Andrew and these other guys, like, they're just not that smart. And that really kind of – so I shouldn't be angry at them. It's just, like, they don't understand the game of basketball. So
yeah,
when they watch it, they think about the lights, and they think about the fans, and they think about the noises, and they don't really look at the basketball, and they don't look at the hoop.
Well, and it's like, seriously, like, you can drop a baby on its head so many times, but eventually they're just going to become stupid.
That's
and
what
I feel like,
thinking is. I feel like Andrew's, like, been dropped on his head a lot.
Or he ate paint chips as a child. Like, the point is that something is missing. And I just feel for the city because they deserve better. They deserve better to have people that have their voice that's saying, hey, guys, we like you players. We like you because right now there's none of that.
I mean, they'll always say, oh, no, we like the players. We want them to do really good and fail. Like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I hope you parent that way, too. Like, you little son of a bitch. Like, come on.
Yeah,
get the fuck
like,
out of here.
Like, we all want everybody to tank so that half of you guys, or not half, but probably like four or five of you guys won't have a team next year. We want to tank so four or five of you guys don't have a team. Like, yeah. How does that make the guys feel? Like, we think that you guys are so shitty that this is a tank team. Like, this doesn't make the guys feel good. They don't, like, walk away being like, man, Royce Young, he knows how to ask really good pointed questions. He walks away. They walk away and be like, what the fuck is wrong with Royce? Noise crowd? Are you fucking serious?
Like, oh, my
God. Players are making fun of the Oklahoma City media.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's in over his head, and he really should just stay to himself. Because, honestly, I'm not trying to get in his face other than I'm trying to let him know I have an opinion about his shitty job that he's doing. But I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to be around him. I don't want to be his friend. Like, nothing. Like, I don't give a shit about this guy. Like, I just want somebody, anybody, to cover the Oklahoma City Thunder with some decency. Okay? And if that's not there, then I'll do it, and I'll shit on everybody else who does a bad job. But I'm not just going to do it and be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this because I want to. I'm doing it because I fucking have to.
And I felt like the time that we met Magic Johnson all those years ago in Los Angeles, and we sat down, we're talking to him, and he talks about making $50 million like it's nothing, right? And he says, anybody can make $50 million. Anybody can do that. It's like easy. All you got to do is put your mind to it. But what you do with that $50 million is what makes you a man or makes you not a man. And it like clicked in my head, like at that moment, like, huh. So if I have all this money and I have all this power and all this voice and I just decide to be a hermit crab and not do anything, like, what am I doing good for this world? Right. And I feel like that's exactly what's happening with Royce Young is he's
right.
All of a sudden got all this power and all this money,
yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I can half-ass this shit. That's
yeah.
Okay because nobody's going to take my job.
He mailed it in. And the thing is, like, he has exploited the Thunder to be able to make an enormous amount of money, fame, and influence. And what does he do with that? He makes Royce Young look good. Does he help, like, teach the fans about basketball and help teach them how to watch a new team and help teach them how to cheer for a team that will only one time probably have players as young as it does now? No. No, he doesn't. Nope. That's not really on his list of things to do. I mean, they have a paid podcast.
Well, let's just put it out there. Like, we've talked about our kids before on the show. We talked about it. When you're raising kids, there's a way that you raise them properly and a way that you raise them improperly. And there's no, like, fine line. There's no, like, you know, anything else like that. It's correct or it's not correct. And to me, the way that he is with the Oklahoma City Thunder, I feel like he's treated this like raising his own kid. And now he's like, okay, my child's 5 years old. They can feed themselves. They can watch themselves for a couple hours. They can do whatever the fuck they want. I don't give a shit as long as they're quiet. Here's an iPad. Like, mm-hmm. To me, that's exactly what's happened with him. He's gotten so complacent that and so out of touch with the city that when he speaks and opens his mouth is acting like he's an expert, all he's doing is just spewing out just shit.
Yeah.
We're
going to have to hold that thought right there. And if you want to hear more about what we think about Royce Young's reporting, tune in tomorrow.
All
right. All
day. We're going to be talking about Royce. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City media. We're going to be talking about this young playing team, this team that's balling right now and exciting to watch. So please, please. Oh, and I have to throw this out here. One more thing. This is the third time this season that we've been beat by 20 or more points, and we've come back and won the next game. What does that tell you about our locker room?
Are you serious? It's the third time this season?
That is the third time this season we've gotten beat by 20-plus points and come back and won the very next game.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Isn't that great,
dude? It shows your resilience, and that's what we need. That's what this is all about. That's, like Coach said, when he looks at that logo, when he looks at our logo, he thinks it's about resilience because that's what this team means. That's what the city means. That's what the state means.
OKC. OKC. OKC.
Well, thanks for joining us today for Gary England's Last Storm. Tune in tomorrow for the pregame against the 76ers. This is Mark.
And this is Dave. Thunder up.
Thunder up.